Hey, this is DJ Bennett from the Kill Radio News Team, and I'm here the day after Memorial Day. And of course, first off, I want to say that Kill Radio and I salute all of the people who have served our country. My father was a soldier in World War II. I'm sure many of your fathers did that as well. I think about the weak-willed people who regard all politicians as evil and say that everything they do is a matter of warmongering. And then I think to myself, well, didn't Mr. Obama not vote for the Iraq War? And right now, in 2012, isn't the Iraq War over? And aren't we withdrawing our troops from Afghanistan? Yeah, what a warmonger he is. He's actually doing what he said he'd do. Last night, I saw Gene Simmons talking about how he now supports Romney. And I think, well, there's another multimillionaire who supports Romney. He claims that he voted for Obama in the last election because he was so upset with Bush. But how is Romney different from Bush? Romney is willing to bring back in the same cabinet that Bush had, who got us into unnecessary and illegal wars. I still think that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney both belong in prison because they're traitors to the Constitution. They're traitors to this country. I don't think that's a joke. I don't think that I'm going too far. There are many things about the Obama administration that deeply bother me. I understand why he wants to only look forward and not look back. But the torture and the illegal wars that we went to will happen again unless the people who committed those foul deeds are punished. I want to see George W. Bush and Dick Cheney in prison. I'm especially, because of Memorial Day, I'm especially annoyed about Dick Cheney. This little twerp has spent many, many years trying to get us involved in worse and worse wars. Cheney has had no problems sending our beloved children into wars, into illegal wars. He thinks, by the way, that if the president does something, even if it's totally illegal, that it's not illegal because the president does it. Well, Dick Cheney is a coward and he's a hypocrite. He didn't serve in the armed forces. He took 5 deferments in order to stay out of Vietnam. So I spit on Dick Cheney. All right, here's the thing that we need to spend some time with just for a couple minutes here. Now, how do we know that global warming is real? Because if you listen to Fox News, and I know too many of you do, there's a thought that it doesn't exist. But the fact is that carbon dioxide in our atmosphere has increased at an unprecedented rate in the past 200 years. Not one data set collected over a long enough span of time shows otherwise. 200 years is since the Industrial Revolution. That's when we started putting more carbon dioxide into the air. How do we know that global warming is real? Because the polar ice caps are melting. Because the glaciers are melting all over the earth. And because the sea level is rising. You may say, oh, that's good, but it's not. Here are some of the critics' arguments and the rebuttal. It's just natural climatic variability. No, it's not. We know a lot about the past greenhouse worlds and the ice house planet that has existed for the past 33 million years. We have a good understanding of how and why the Antarctic ice sheet first appeared. There's this thought that because we weren't there a million years ago, that we couldn't possibly know anything about what Earth was like at that time, which is utter nonsense, of course. In fact, our current warm interglacial has lasted almost 10,000 years. So if it were not for global warming, we would be headed into the next glacial in the next 1,000 years or so. Instead, our pumping greenhouse gases into our atmosphere after they were long trapped in the Earth's crust has pushed the planet into a super interglacial, already warmer than any previous warming period. Well, then they go, it's just another warming episode like the medieval warming period or the Holocene climactic optimum or the end of the Little Ice Age. No, it's not. There are numerous small fluctuations of warming and cooling over the past 10,000 years, but those were not global. You know, when we had the medieval warm period, that didn't change anything down on the equator. But what we're seeing today is worldwide. None of these periods that they talk about as warming periods in the past were worldwide. They affected only one small part of the planet. What we're seeing now affects everything everywhere. Well, it's just the sun, it's natural, or cosmic rays, or volcanic activity, or methane. Nope, doesn't work that way. The amount of heat that the sun provides has been decreasing since 1940, just the opposite of what these critics claim. There's no evidence of an increase in cosmic rays, nor any large-scale volcanic events have changed any long-term effects. Nope. The climate records since 1995 or 1998 show cooling. That's the one that really ticks me off the most. They say that, well, it's just gotten cooler since 1998. This is not true. The only way that could be true is if you cherry-pick the data. Over the short term, there was a slight cooling trend between 1998 to 2000 because 1998 was an El Nino year. But since 2002, the overall long-term trend of warming is unequivocal. All of the 16 hottest years ever recorded on a global scale have occurred in the last 20 years. Well, we had record snows in the winter of 29, 2010, and 2010 and 2011. So what? This is nothing more than the difference between short-term seasonal changes and long-term average of weather over decades and centuries and longer. In other words, weather versus climate. So don't tell me because it snowed a little bit extra a couple years ago, that means that there's no warming going on, because it's not true. Well, carbon dioxide's good for plants, so the world will be better off. No, carbon dioxide is not good for humans. Yeah, maybe it's possible there'll be more plants, but when humans are dead, who cares? The direction we're going is towards heat. And if the permafrost, of which there is a huge amount on the surface of this planet that is buried in earth and glaciers, if the permafrost melts, that's going to be a release of so much methane that the greenhouse effect will triple in a short time. How do we know the global warming is happening? Because the evidence from many different places shows us that it is. How do we know that it's based on human interaction? Because it's changed drastically since we began pumping greenhouse gases into the air. When is it time to do something about it? Well, maybe about 50 years ago. Maybe it's too late already. All right, I guess I've ranted enough about that. This is the Harper's Weekly News in Review. This was posted by Simone Richmond, a new writer for Harper's, on May 29th, 2012, and this does concern the news of the preceding week. Syrian government forces killed at least 108 civilians, including 49 children, in Houla, a rebel-held village near Homs. Activists and witnesses said the Syrian army shelled the town with tank fire and mortars during the day, then sent militiamen to kill people house by house that night. Yep, how would you like to get a knock on your door, you open the door, and somebody stands there and just starts shooting you and everyone in your family? That's what was happening in Syria. The Syrian government claimed that its soldiers had been attacked by terrorists who then shot and stabbed civilians. We unequivocally deny the responsibility of government forces, said Foreign Ministry spokesman Jihad Makdisi. The United Nations Security Council condemned Syria for the artillery and tank attacks, but avoided assigning responsibility for the close-range massacre of civilians. Why? Because you're afraid they'll come and do it to you? Egypt held the preliminary round of its first presidential election since the February 2011 uosnyi forced out Hosni Mubarak. Muslim Brotherhood candidate Mohamed Morsi and Mubarak-era Prime Minister Ahmed Shafiq won the right to face each other in the final round of voting next month, prompting thousands to gather in Cairo's Tahrir Square. the choice can't be between a religious state and an autocratic state, said one protester. A mob set fire to Shafiq's campaign headquarters, and third-place finisher Hamdin Sabahi demanded a recount, alleging that hundreds of thousands of serving police officers had voted in contravention of Egyptian law. There were many violations, and I think that everyone is serious, said election observer and former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. But collectively, they did not affect the basic integrity of the election. The Daily Caller website announced that it would give away one 9mm pistol engraved with the Bill of Rights each week until November's U.S. presidential election, and a vial purportedly containing blood drawn from Ronald Reagan after he was shot in 1981 was withdrawn from auction in response to criticism and donated to the Reagan Presidential Foundation. I was a real fan of Reaganomics, wrote the consigner, and felt that President Reagan himself would rather see me sell it. Hewlett-Packard announced that it would cut 27,000 jobs by 2014. Russia tested an ICBM capable of penetrating a planned missile defense shield over Europe. And NATO signed a $1.7 billion deal to purchase surveillance drones from Northrop Grumman. The decision to move ahead with the alliance ground surveillance program in today's difficult economic climate, said NATO's Deputy Secretary General, sends a powerful message. The Associated Press reported that 45% of veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan were applying for disability benefits, more than double the proportion of those filing claims after the Gulf War. Of course, the Gulf War only lasted, what, 6 weeks? Officials said some of the claims were the result of economic circumstances. We'll say, is your back worse? Said the executive director of Disabled American Veterans. And they'll say, no, I just lost my job. President Barack Obama promised during a Memorial Day service at Arlington National Cemetery not to send troops into another war unless it was absolutely necessary. And two female Army reservists sued the United States in an attempt to overturn the military's restrictions on women in combat. Hey, if women want to go into combat, let them go into combat. Especially in places like the Mideast, where women are supposed to hide and it's illegal to see their faces, I think it'd be pretty good to see some women walking around with guns, don't you? North Carolina's legislature passed through to committee a bill that would make it the first American state to compensate victims of a government-forced sterilization program. Get it over with and have it done, said Assemblyman Paul Stamm, Republican, so they can enjoy it before they die. An earthquake in Italy's Emilia-Romagna region killed 9 people, toppled churches and castles, and destroyed an estimated 400,000 88-pound wheels of Parmigiano-Reggiano and Grana-Padano cheese. Vatican police arrested a papal butler whose responsibilities included shading Pope Benedict XVI with a white umbrella for allegedly leaking private correspondence exposing corruption at the Vatican Bank. And the director of the Casoria Contemporary Art Museum outside Naples set fire to some of his museum's artworks to protest cuts to Italy's arts budget. We destroy some art, he said, to save all art. A group of Pi Kappa Alphas at Louisiana Tech University reportedly burned down their fraternity house while attempting to incinerate their textbooks. In Montreal, thousands of casserole demonstrators banged pots and pans during rallies against planned university tuition hikes and a new Quebec anti-protest law that has led to hundreds of arrests. Researchers identified as the world's oldest musical instruments 2 flutes of mammoth ivory and bird bone discovered in Germany's Geissenklo-Esterelli cave that were last played as long as 43,000 years ago. And biologists christened Loridia, a new genus of underground-dwelling velvet spider. Records showed that American officials had released sensitive information about the raid that killed Osama bin Laden to Oscar-winning filmmaker Catherine Bigelow. Barack Obama declared Mitt Romney's allegation that he had unleashed a prairie fire of debt to be a cow pie of distortion. And a new biography of Obama claimed that he established several pot-smoking trends as a member of the Chum Gang at Punahou School in Honolulu, and that among Obama's innovations was total absorption, which saw penalties levied against those who exhaled prematurely following a toke. Wasting good bud smoke, said Chum Gang member Tom Topolinski, was not tolerated. All right, I will say about that, I have no problem with Mr. Obama being a pothead when he was in college. I wouldn't even mind if he was a pothead today, as long as he wasn't doing it while he was working. But I do think it's hypocritical that the Obama administration wants to shut down, for instance, California's legal pot shops because it's against federal law. If Mr. Obama had been busted by the very pot laws he seems to support, he would not be president today. Right? Right, Penn Jillette? Right? Let's not forget that they're going to constantly tell us over the next few months that none of Mr. Obama's plans have worked, that there are no jobs, and that things are worse in this country. It's not true. He has created more jobs in 3 years than George W. Bush did in eight. And the reason that we have the skyrocketing debt has nothing to do with Mr. Obama. It has 100% the fault of George W. Bush's tax cuts for billionaires. If those tax cuts had shut down when they were supposed to, our debt would be dropping precipitously. So blaming Obama for Bush's debts is silly. Also, we still have birthers out there. Remember, birtherism is just racism. You can't call Mr. Obama a nigger, but you can say he's not an American, or you can call him a Muslim, which is the same thing. And remember, the intolerant pricks from the Republican Party have told us over and over again that their only job is to make sure that Obama is a one-term president. They don't give a damn about the rest of the country. They don't give a damn about jobs because all those congressional Republicans have jobs, you notice. It's not like they don't have income. So the only thing that matters to these people, and their approval rating is sinking faster than you can imagine, and this is why, but the only thing that matters to these people has nothing to do with you or me or the country we live in. Congressional Republicans are traitors. They're traitors. They don't care about you. They don't care about the future. They're not doing their jobs. All that matters to them is to give more tax breaks to billionaires and to get rid of Obama. Let's also not forget that the Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney budget, in which these Republicans, these congressional Republicans, have all pledged to not raise taxes under any circumstances, that pledge is a total, all-out lie. Because what they really want to do is raise taxes on the poor people and give those taxes as tax breaks to the rich who do not need them. So even when they pledge that they will not raise taxes, even that is a lie, because they're so upset that half the people in this country don't pay income tax. Now, the reason half the people in the country don't pay income tax is because the income disparity is so gigantic that half the people in the country don't even make enough money to pay income tax. Yet, if Paul Ryan's budget gets passed, and if Mitt Romney becomes president, the first thing they're going to do is raise taxes on poor people. So that means they will literally take food out of the mouths of the poor, the elderly, and children, and give that money to people who do not need it in the first place. And you know what? I do not consider myself to be a Democrat. I would vote for anyone that I thought was good. But under no circumstances would I ever vote for a Republican as long as they're such traitors to this country. Enough ranting for now. That's the Kill Radio Weekly News in Review. See you next week.